Today our sermon is titled, Joy and Rewards Through Circumstances. And I think we got into a little bit of this on Wednesday. We'll continue it. Philippians 4:1 is our passage. And then at some point we'll get to standing firm in the Lord. That's also Philippians 4:1. Before we get going, let's take a moment of silent prayer so we can get in fellowship. And that simply means for us to admit or confess, keep an account between ourselves and God when it comes to our wrongdoing or our sin. And we do that by simply naming them. And that is confession. Naming them to God the Father so we can then learn. Because we know it takes the Holy Spirit, and without the Holy Spirit, we can't be taught the doctrines we need, and we can't actually apply it either without the Holy Spirit. So nothing works without fellowship. So let's go ahead and take care of that now. Let's pray. Dear Father, we're so grateful for just everything. Thank you for the weather. Thank you for what you've been doing in people's lives. We are grateful for your word. We know you always have us in mind when you make plans. And we just pray we can catch up to the knowledge that you have for us. We ask for concentration today. Ask for patience in learning in our growth. We ask for understanding. And we also ask for humility so we can continue on and glorify you in this life. We ask these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. So Philippians 3, I'll start reading from verse 20. It says, "For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform the body of our humble state into conformity with the body of his glory, by the exertion of the power that he has, even to subject all things to himself." And in chapter 4, verse 1, "Therefore, brothers, my beloved, and the ones whom I long to see, my joy and crown, in this way stand firm in the Lord, my beloved." And if you remember last time, we kind of introduced chapter 4. We got into it, at least enough to hear a little about crowns and joy. And there's just a lot in this area to explore, because this is really what our lives consist of, is joy and obtaining and receiving crowns through that joy. So this is an important topic. And if you remember verse 4, it started off with a kind of a conclusion, therefore. So there's something always behind that it's concluding from. So what did we go through? What have we been talking about? We saw what the right Christian example was. That was 3:16 and 17. We saw what that took to be the right Christian example. We also saw the opposite of that, what the wrong Christian example is like. And then we went to 3:18 through 19, and that was the wrong Christian example. And then we got into our citizenship, which is in heaven, which that was verses 20 through 21. And part of that had to do with all the privileges that come with a relationship with Christ. Part of that is, from the very beginning, is your citizenship. And it's been from that point on that we come to learn about that citizenship, basically, is how we can say it. And what that entails is many, many privileges and also responsibilities, because we know to maintain anything great, it takes a part on you and to do something on your part. And that takes obedience and serving the Lord. So this conjunction is concluding. all of these things, after speaking about all these things we just went through, and then you see we have stand firm in chapter 4, the beginning at verse 1 here, and that's actually a command. So this command is rolling around all these things, and it's coming up to this stand firm. So it kind of makes sense when you look at it like that. And, you know, there's always a natural flow to the Word of God. That's one thing that kind of keeps me in check. If I want to go somewhere, want to get out of bounds, the Word of God has that flow to it. And it'll kind of bring you down the line from chapter 1, 2, 3, and 4. And here we are with the therefore, stand firm. So here we go. And we know that to be the right example and also to fulfill our duties as a citizen, this is a must have. We must stand firm. And that's why he's concluding with this, because he's been talking about all these different things. We've had some imperatives, and he's taught us what direction we should go, where we should be, where our citizenship is, and now he's saying, you've got to stand firm in the Lord. So, but before that, there was the principle in how Paul referred to the Philippians as his crown and joy, or his joy and crown. I always want to reverse that. Joy and crown. And this was the principle that your circumstances with people can be a source of joy, happiness, and also a means through which you can receive or attain rewards. And that's an important thought that we need to keep in mind, because that's 95% of our life is interaction with people. It's our circumstances in our lives, whether it be at home or whether it be in the workplace or whether it be with friends. We put ourselves in different situations multiple times a day. And when we look at it through this lens, through the divine perspective, we can see not only can they be a cause of joy, they can also be the cause from which we attain rewards. But that boils down to how are we thinking within those situations. And that's the most important part. And we'll talk a little bit about that. Specifically rewards, I mean crowns in this case. And what I wanted you to see first is that the source of all true happiness and reward obviously comes through your relationship with Christ. That's the most important thing to remember about this as we go through this study. I'm not trying to say the source of your happiness is people or the source of your happiness is circumstances, but they can contribute to your joy and your happiness as long as your relationship is correct and your priorities are straight to begin with. And that's encouraging, because we are in a lot of different scenarios that aren't very necessarily happy or don't carry a lot of joy with the circumstance itself. But when we realize what we're gaining from that, how much we're growing from that situation, we can begin to realize that, yes, this really is meant to be a source of excitement. That not only for me, but those involved may be changed as a result of you going through this situation and getting through it and passing the test. Passing the test, that's another issue that we always faced is, what's the test and are we going to pass it? There's always tests. So Paul, as he's explaining this to us, his joy is already internalized. It's already there. And we can see that because we know about Paul, first of all. We know who he is. We can see some of his ministry. And he has joy internally. And this is only how he can call the Philippians his joy, because he's got it internalized first. That's how he can call the Philippians his joy. I know this might come up often in our class, but the reason this is such an important issue, I feel, is because this issue enables us to be truly content in life, truly content. We easily get those two things swapped. We get the order out of whack. But I wanted to show you that Paul has it correct, because you know just as well as I do that it's very easy to get our eyes off of the inner spiritual happiness and onto the physical circumstances. It's very easy to do. If we're not consistent in the Word, if we're not growing in our relationship, our eyes, our focus, our objectives can all switch to what we have going on in our life. And then things start happening, decisions start to be made that aren't in line with Scripture. So, and if anyone can attest to this inner happiness, it's Paul. Because he's already demonstrated and told us that he has it throughout the book. Remember, one of the themes throughout the book of Philippians is joy or rejoicing. And that's internal. That's internal, because despite all these things that Paul's went through, and just listen to some of this. Remember, he's got a thorn in the flesh. Don't forget about Paul's thorn in the flesh. This scripture hasn't brought that. It's been taken away. So he's got his thorn, despite being in a Roman prison, not knowing the outcome of his trial, despite suffering persecution, despite being unjustly imprisoned. Remember, he's in there and he's innocent. He's in there because he was teaching the Word of God, presenting the gospel and the truth. He's in there for the truth. And despite afflictions, being physically abused. Paul was physically beat. So there's a lot of things happening here, and Paul's still saying that he has joy. He has this joy. So if he's saying it, I'm pretty sure we can do the same thing, because we don't have nearly as much as Paul has going on in his life. So if Paul's joy can remain through all of this, then the source of his joy isn't dependent on those things that can affect joy. It's not dependent on those things or affected by them. So, but this distraction that I'm talking about, it seems to subtly creep in. It's a very subtle thing. It's slow. It can be fast, but it's subtle. Because we easily make that switch when we're applying, and then our eyes start to drift. And then things look attractive. They look better. They look more fun. They look like they would create a source of happiness for a moment. And that's where we get a little bit twisted on that point right there. It's always when things are going maybe good, maybe circumstances are pleasant, or maybe they're bad and something else looks a little bit better or alleviating from what's in my current circumstances. See, getting off of the focus in our spiritual life can go from any direction. You can be in pain, or things can be going great. The idea of the Word of God usually is that when we're suffering, we tend to focus on our spiritual life. When you're in pain, oh, the Word of God can help me. When things are going good, we slack off. But that doesn't leave the fact that we can slip up in each case. In suffering, you're still in testing. You're still having to consistently apply the Word of God, and you can get to the point where you feel like you can't handle it anymore, even though you can. And that's when you can start to look. When things are going good, you're applying, it's very easy to just get lazy. When we get comfortable, we get kind of, you know, relaxed about situations. That's when that happens. So, and the reason I say the distraction subtly creeps in is because of just what we said. We can get our eyes off the Lord and put them on people and circumstances, but that is not what's happening with Paul. What they're doing, what's happening in Paul's case, is they're an addition to his happiness. See, if he got his eyes on the Philippians, guess what would happen? They'd become a source of misery, stress, anxiety. Do you see the difference? Maybe they could have been a source of joy, but only for a moment. And Paul could have easily switched his focus to the Philippian congregation very easily. I'm talking about number one priority. They're his priority because he's writing to them and he cares deeply about them. But we have to keep in mind, who is our top dog priority? Is it the people that we associate with, or is it our relationship with Christ? So it can easily go away. So we try to base our happiness sometimes on the superficial. On the superficial. The easy, the temporary, the most convenient. But when we do, what does that also do and take the place of? It takes the place of your inner happiness. It just snatches it right away. It looks good. It may feel good. But guess what? It's going to do a 180, a 360 on you. It's not only going to take away your internal happiness, it's going to put you in a place where we don't want to be mentally or physically. Both of those come with those kind of decisions. So, and another thing that you take away is that you, not only do you remove that contentment you had in life before, you destroy any true appreciation, enjoyment that was to be had in the object, in the circumstance, in the people, in the thing that God provided. So there was joy to be had in there. But we took the wrong path and we decided to maybe take a shortcut, maybe get to it a little bit sooner. Maybe you get the point. So the trick is to build a happiness from your relationship with Christ. And that's what I wanted to focus on. But that includes just what we're doing, growing up spiritually and making right decisions under the power of the filling of the Holy Spirit. So then you also create another thing that we've talked about, the ability or capacity to appreciate things around you. When you become thankful for people, for circumstances, for things that have happened in the past, when you become thankful about those things, that says a lot about what's going on in your soul. Because when we hold bitter, when we hold grudges about something that happened, guess what we're not doing? We're not applying. We're not applying the Word of God. Jesus Christ is not bitter. He never was bitter. And people tried to kill him and they didn't believe him. But he still was not bitter towards them because he knew that just like you and me, they have a sin nature. We all have a sin nature. We're all going to mess up at times, unfortunately. And part of that means making bad decisions and getting hurt. Yes, you will get hurt. I will get hurt. But the point is, that's an option. We need to be able to take that hurt and turn it around into glorifying God. It's really about glorifying God, because when we, even though the circumstance dictates to us, this is a reason to be hurt personally. That doesn't mean that we have to take it and do what the circumstances tell us to do. This is mind over matter type of situation. This is the spiritual over the physical. What's more important to us? Are we going to glorify myself because I want to throw a fit? Or I want to pay so-and-so back? Or I want to hold a grudge? Do you see who's getting glorified? God standing up there like, man, I gave you all these words. I gave you all these promises, and this is how you apply them. So there's a black and white difference of what's happening between how we're living that out and what we're doing in here. We can do this all day, every day. But when it comes to the situation outside, how are we living that out? What does that look like in your life? Is it real? Because I'm talking about it, but we have to internalize it. We've got to internalize this thing, joy, happiness. And the only way to do that is getting your eyes off the circumstance, getting your eyes off of self, and putting them in the Word. That is it. That's the only way to do it. It takes sometimes Different situations take different amounts of time to realize that. You notice that? Some, I can come to that conclusion very quickly. Application. Others, that maybe hit me a little harder. Sometimes it takes more of a realization in my life. Sometimes it takes getting me to that point to say, okay, that's it. That's the direction I have to go. No question about it. And I just have to make that decision. And all of a sudden, things get better. Isn't that something? The Word of God does that. And if we stay in tune with that, we can consistently be on top of that better. That better. That's an internal. I'm not talking about circumstances right now. This is how you feel. See, this is directly correlated with your feelings. Because remember, your emotions are the appreciator of what's happening inside. So if you're happy inside, that's going to come out. You're going to naturally feel that. So, capacity to appreciate. To appreciate what you have right now, today, not tomorrow, or yesterday, or anything else that God decides to put in your life. That's capacity. I think that's really the definition, the true definition of capacity, to truly appreciate whatever God has in your life for you at that moment, whether it be adversity or prosperity. If you're capable of going through this and glorifying God, that's capacity. That's what the word means. How much can He throw at you and you be able to carry it, carry the load? Because He knows you're not carrying it, you're relying on Him. He knows it. And He's going to give it to you. So, since we're talking about people here, I mean, look at the... Paul, obviously, he loves the Philippians. He loves them. He's got... Look what he says, my beloved brethren. And then at the end, he ends it on my beloved. So he's got it twice. He starts it and he closes it. And this sentence isn't, I mean, it's long, but it's not extremely long. Not his longest sentence, that's for sure. So there's another thing that's included in this, and that is love. There's love. When we're talking about people, you've got to include love. You have to. You have to. Because this is a direct outpouring of your relationship with Jesus Christ. If you love Christ, if you love God, you will exhibit this love, spiritual love, that's way above and beyond any human love that I can offer. This is what we have available to us. And this is the kind of thing that comes into this joy, this happiness, that's an internalized already spiritually in your soul. So, this is unconditional love. And that's directly tied to your inner happiness. There's a direct link there. Unconditional love, or impersonal, however you want to call it, is directly tied to your inner happiness. It has to be when it comes to people. Because when you develop that capacity, there it is again, that's the capability to love someone even though they hurt you. Do you see the capable, how capable you are with spiritual things? When you develop that, that's a personal inner source of joy. It's not directly coming through the person, but see, they are a cause of it. They're the ones that triggered it. They're the ones that, the reason why you are able to apply the word in your life. And that's a cause of joy right there. So then you receive joy through them, and that joy is no longer based on them. There's a big difference there. There's a big difference. We tend to look at the people and base our joy, our contentment off those people. And when they change, we change. When they waver, when they get angry, when they're having a bad day, our love wavers. Our love changes. Oh, they did this. Well, I'm not going to do this. Well, that's not impersonal or unconditional love. That's just being a person with an old sin nature. It's not tit for tat, remember? This is called, am I glorifying God? And a lot of times, that's sacrificing to you, not to God. It's sacrificing to you as a human being with the sin nature. Remember, our sin natures don't like a lot of these things. But when you apply, it's a source of contentment. And that overshadows whatever that sin nature could have ever wanted because you're in fellowship. That is our true source of joy. And it's rooted in truth, always rooted in truth, rooted in the Word of God, in your relationship. Your joy is no longer based on them, but on the truth in your soul. And that happens in your daily walk. And since your love for them is based on God's strength and characteristics of love, because of that, when people hurt you or offend you, you don't live up to their reputation, or they don't live up to their reputation. They don't live up to their fullest potential as a husband, as a wife, as a friend, as a relative. How many times do we see that? All the time. As a child, anybody. They're always never going to live up to their 100% capacity that they can be. Guaranteed. We're human. So when they don't apply the doctrine that you expect them to apply because they're a believer, when they don't do that and they fail in that situation, it happens all the time. A mature believer may even hold a grudge against you. They're not applying the doctrine that you would expect them to apply. It happens. It happens. They may gossip or slander you, but guess what? None of these affect your unconditional love towards them. Now, I can't make you get to this point. This is a reality that has to be made in your soul. This is how Christ loved you. This should be your goal. Think about how we reject God, even though we are believers. We reject Him on a daily basis when it comes to our decisions. We reject His advice, His guidance all the time, especially when we get ourselves in a pickle. When we make bad decisions, we get ourselves down some beaten path. We've, in a sense, been disobedient. But that doesn't change, not a lick, God's love for you. Hasn't affected it at all. He's waiting patiently. He wants you to come back, and He will get you back. And if you don't come back, He'll take you home. That's His solution. If it gets that bad, He loves you that deeply, He's just going to take you home. Time to go to your room. Great. Close the door. Right? Heaven. So, we have to understand that when it comes to unconditional love. Everybody has a sin nature, just as you do. And we have to understand that not everybody has maybe the maturity, maybe the patience, maybe the humility. But guess what? When we do have these things that I just named, that's unconditional love. Patience, compassion, humility, maturity. And that all these things result in that they are no longer able to penetrate you. The person is no, the goals of the person is no longer able to affect you the way they had an effect before. It just slides right off of you. Because I don't care what you do, whatever, it doesn't matter. I still have something in my soul that's a lot greater than that one little sin that you decided to do to me and personally hurt me. That means absolutely nothing in comparison to what the kind of love we're talking about in your soul. The comparison is just not even there. It's not even there. So you're no longer offended. You no longer allow them to hurt you. You no longer allow them to stress you out. You no longer allow them to cause bitterness or reaction in your soul. That's all rooted in unconditional love. Every single bit of it. Every bit of it. So see how much bigger and better priorities and motivations are when we do things God's way instead of our own. So much of a difference. Instead of making bad decisions out of fellowship. So growing up in the spirit, in the Christian life means we must take the high road more frequently. And what I mean by that is that comes to decisions. There's always a low road and there's always a high road when it comes to your decisions, and it comes to which one are we going to take? Which one are we going to take? Are we going to self-sacrifice and glorify? Apply? That's the high road. Because what we're talking about in this verse is joy and rewards. You must continually take the high road in your spiritual life if we want any of these. We're not alive on this earth forever to do this. This is the time-bound thing. We've got the means to do it. We've been given in the situations, the people in our lives. God is trying to get us going with blessings. He wants to allow us to prosper. He wants to see us grow. He wants us to have the capability to handle these things, though. And it's time-bound. It's all time-bound. So that's another part of this that we need to keep in mind. Because what changes in your soul by you not allowing them to affect you or offend you in the way they did back then when you were an immature Christian is your mission and objectives are different. They're now to glorify God. They're now to focus on applying His Word. See, that's an easy change. But when the circumstance gets there, what do you do? I can say this all day, but when it comes to actually doing it, we've got to keep these things in mind. And one of the things that keeps you alert to the Word, to the truth, to consistently coming back to keeping these things in mind is fellowship. If you want to remember, be reminded, be guided, that all requires the Holy Spirit. You can't say, well, I forgot because I made a bad decision and I was going down this road. I just couldn't remember the Word. I couldn't remember to get back in it. No, you were out of fellowship is what happened. So if you want help, you have to ask for help. That's the obvious answer. You've got to ask for it. And how we ask for it as broken Christians is we come to the throne of God and confess. That's it. That's simple. That's why He made it that way. It's just so He's like, well, they can't do much, but I know they can do that. We know how to confess. We can confess. We can admit. We know what we did in our life. So your objectives and your mission change. And at that point, you're no longer concerned with paying someone back just for the sake of winning an argument or appeasing our self-righteousness. See, the missions and objectives are miles apart. They really are miles apart. If you go off that of what I just said, and we do that, I do that, you do that, we can switch over to that option very quickly, very easily. But that's not glorifying. That's not glorifying to God. It's glorifying to me. I might get you back. Ha ha. Here comes the discipline. There goes my spiritual growth. I just retracted back. So what happened was my pride got bigger, which will allow me to make more bad decisions. And here comes discipline. So it just doesn't make any sense what we do. But that's what we've been dealt. That's who we are. That's what we've been given. That's the decisions that we make. And we have to learn how to manage them, how to mitigate them, how to move past them, and how to think about them differently. Because if we don't, we're going to get stuck in this. There are people that live in this life All they're concerned about is getting one over on whoever got one over on them. That's their life. That's it. Do you know how miserable those people are? There's a lot of frustration, a lot of anxiety, a lot of anger. And you know what? We should need to pray for those people. And I'm not kidding. Because those kind of things is what gives people heart attacks. Those kind of things is what puts people in the grave very quickly. Those kind of things cause health problems. And the major downside is they're just wasting their spiritual. I'm talking about believers. They're wasting their time in the spiritual life when they could have a completely different objective. It's a lot of stress to maintain that, you know, that goal of get one over on somebody just because they did something to you. That takes a lot of effort that you really don't have. And your body will let you know that. It will. So you're no longer concerned about these things. So it's all really about what our priorities and motivations are. Do we do things God's way or do we do them our way? High road, low road. So the high road and low road, these decisions, obviously I think I said this, but one are done in being out of fellowship and the other is done in fellowship. Are you looking to further your own agenda or are you looking to further God's agenda? Because there's two differences here. He wants to further His plan through your life. He wants to work the circumstances for His benefit and your benefit through His plan for your life. Now, we all want to be on board with that, no doubt about it. But our decisions and our actions can dictate otherwise. That's why we need to say, take a step back and say, okay, which plan am I on when it comes to my actions, when it comes to my words, how I speak to people? Whose plan am I furthering? Because there are two different agendas going forward here. There's God's and there's mine. And it could take two different, completely different paths in life. So the more we grow spiritually, the more we stay in tune, the more we are in fellowship, the more capable you become to take that high road, to make that right decision. Consistently make that right decision. Are you going to always make it 100% of the time? No. Can't do it. Can't happen. But you can do it more and more on a consistent basis. That's where happiness comes from, right decisions. Notice when you make a wrong decision, it makes you crazy almost. Why the heck? You can jumble that one decision for days, weeks. It might not even been that bad. But you're just like, you know, you feel like an idiot for making it. See, what causes unhappiness is wrong decisions. What causes happiness is right decisions within the power of the Holy Spirit. Because a right decision is a right decision. But a right decision, when it's under the power of the Holy Spirit, glorifying God, is completely different on a different level. We're talking about eternal repercussions. We're talking about your blessing, your furtherance in God's plan, your application. So there's two different things. So decisions based on truth create inner happiness, and decisions based on false create everything but inner happiness. Truth and false. Got the little angel and the little devil on each shoulder jumping around. I mean, it's kind of funny, but it's kind of true, isn't it? Because we have that in us. We have that ability to decide one way or the other. But one side is not unhappiness, and one side is happiness. So that's capacity. Joy and crown. So we looked at this word crown last time, and I wanted to give you the main points of what we talked about. Remember, this word that Paul used is an actual crown, or it's a wreath, in the Greek, and it can mean an award or prize for exceptional service or conduct. And that's what Paul is referring to here. And we said that Paul is making a reference to a reward, but not the actual award, but to the fact that the Philippians are through whom Paul will receive that award. And that opened up our minds to say, hey, people is how you receive your rewards. Not by doing nothing. It's by living this life and applying the Word of God. That's how rewards come through your circumstances. Eternal crowns come through your circumstances with other people and depend on your application of God's Word. So when we keep this in perspective, you know, when it comes to people we associate with, then it can make a difference in your life. It really can. There's a reason that it's happening. There's a big reason, in fact, that it's happening. It might be a contribution to your crown, to the reward that God is just waiting, wanting to present to you. We may think that this is the biggest thing that I've ever gone through in my life. There's a reason for it. That crown is knocking on your door. It is. The reason God puts you through things is because He knows without a doubt you can handle it. He knows you have the doctrine in your soul, the capability to rely on Him in the circumstances. See how easy it really is to get a crown, to receive these things? It all goes down to your decisions. It boils down to your decisions. Rewards go down to your decisions. That's the nuts and bolts of them. So we have an option to make a positive contribution toward that reward or not. So never discount something happening in your life as a waste of time or something that never should have happened. Never do that. It wasn't a waste of time, and it should have happened. Things don't happen by accident. These things are meant for you, and they're meant for me, and they're meant for the people that we're associated with. Nothing happens by accident. But take this concept into consideration as we go through them. That's all I'm telling you. You've got an option. How are you going to handle that situation? Never discount it. It's easy to look at something that happened in our life and say, man, I wish that never would have happened. Or, why, you know, what a waste of time. I did this and I was there for 2 days. What a waste of time. No, it wasn't. No, it wasn't. See, you had the wrong priority and focus. Your motivation was wrong. You were worried about your time. You weren't thinking about the plan of God and that He put you there to accomplish one thing and to apply the Word of God around some goofy person that you were with. You just thought it was a waste of time because you had to be with them. Wow, man, I can't believe I stood 2 days with that person. Did you apply the Word? That was the whole point of the trip, the vacation, wherever you went, or whatever, whoever came over to your house. Did you apply? It wasn't meant to just have a good time, just to conversate, even though that's part of it. It's meant to apply. Apply, apply, apply. So never discount that. So next class we'll look at a little bit more about rewards and some of the things that can help us achieve these rewards. And we'll look at 1 Corinthians 9, second session. Let's pray. Dear Father, we thank You for the ability to see Your Word, see what it has to tell us. And we know that through that, we can make right decisions to glorify You. We're so grateful for that. We're so grateful for having the ability to even be a part of this. Because we know without You or Your Son, we would have no access to Your plan or to eternal life. And You made it all available to us because You decided in Your sovereignty that You did not want to see us just left in sin and death, but You wanted to see us reconciled to you. You wanted to see that relationship restored. And how you did that was you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to this earth to pay the penalty for our sin, not his own, for our sin. He died on our behalf for the sins of the entire human race. And part of that means it was made available to us in a gift, a package. And you said, here, take it and open it. For by grace we have been saved through faith. It's not of ourselves. It's a gift so that no one may boast. It's a gift, not of works. And God says, just take it, open it, accept it by faith. That's what we have. That's what we're a part of. And that's what we plan to be at the end of this life. We thank you for that security. Thank you for everything. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.
Sacred head.